Orbitals, an astrology podcast. I'm your host, William Holloway, and today's show is all about the coming Venus retrograde, both in Aries and Pisces. With me to discuss and dissect is my guest, the Zine Witch. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So, Venus retrograde, a great intro into understanding the significations of Venus is looking at the ages of man, which is a technique used for determining periods within a life. So you start with the moon ruling over ages 0 to 4, which is when we are hopefully getting our basic needs met, we're connected to our mothers. It's really about that raw animal body, which the moon represents. Then you have Mercury, which rules over ages 4 to 14. And then from 14 to 22 is ruled by Venus. If you think about the teenage years, that's when you're starting to form your identity. That's when you are developing your desires, passions, what you like, what you don't like, what you love, what you hate. It's where we're developing our sense of taste. And so what would you add to that?
When I think about Venus, I think about what we deem of worth. And I guess that ties into our values, but the things that we want to spend our time doing, like what kind of music we want to listen to, as you said before, aesthetics, like what we want to dress like, what our style is like. And of course, that's going to change as we get older, but it's where we're kind of cultivating our own independence. I always think about, you know, there's the music that you listen to because it's like your older brother's music in the car that you also like, or your dad's music or your mom's music station. But you know, when we're in a Venus stage, we're kind of discovering what we like on our own. But like you see somebody, even just like a classmate, and you're like, that's what I want to emulate. Like, that's what I like, or that's what I'm lacking. And so with Venus, we go to not just find beauty, but we go to identify. I feel like there's something about Venus where it's not just like aesthetics for the sake of aesthetics, but it's also like how you are literally sculpting yourself in the image of what you desire. Venus is our desire.
Right. Absolutely. Now, when it comes to Venus retrograde, Venus retrogrades every 2 years, right?
It's about every 2 years. And I feel like you definitely start to feel it right before it. So it can be like a little bit of a longer transit, what we would call like the pre-shadow, like you start to feeling that call to go in. You know, I guess that's a good way of putting Venus retrograde is, you know, we're going inward, and that's a retrograde for any planet. So we're reevaluating, we're rethinking these things, revisiting.
Totally. I did want to break down this specific Venus retrograde. Venus entered its pre-shadow period January 28th. Venus ingressed into Aries on February 4th. She's slowing down, getting ready to station retrograde on March 1st at 10 degrees Aries, where she'll slowly start going backwards, entering back into Pisces on March 28th, and then stationing direct on April 13th at 24 degrees Pisces. When we go into Venus retrograde,
don't make decisions. You know, hair appointments, don't get plastic surgery, don't do anything to your outer appearance. Don't break up with your partner yet. Wait till after the retrograde to see how you feel. Text your ex.
Right, exactly. All of those things. So yeah, I made a list of things to do during Venus retrograde versus things maybe to be mindful of. Things to do during Venus retrograde: reflect, reassess, review, reacclimate, reacquaint, recall, recommit, recharge, read. I don't know if that one counts, but that's a weird thing. Studying, right? Like going inward, preparing for something, especially with Venus, like a project, you know, that's a good time to like hibernate and work on a project. Readjust, reaffirm, rearrange, rebrand, and rebirth.
Ooh, I like that. Did we
And
say
then, oh, sorry, what did you say?
revision?
Oh, revision.
In relationships, like I feel like it's a wonderful time if you're in, like, and this doesn't like Venus isn't always going to be your romantic relationships. It's often actually going to be like familial relationships or relationships that we have with the women in our lives. So this is like a wonderful time to like, if you have someone special in your life, you know, to do like a recommitment in some way or renewal in some way. And that could be something small, like just writing someone a letter, letting them know like what you really value about them and like the things maybe that you would like to renew or review this year together. Like, you know, we went camping in this beautiful destination 10 years ago. We should do that. We had such a great time. You know, like we forget to do these things. Let's revisit the old beach house, you know, this summer. Like those are the conversations that could come up that I think are really wonderful. I think if you have women in your lives, then there's no coincidence this is happening around Valentine's Day too, like at least the pre-shadow is. So it's like, you know, how often do we honor the women in our lives? And right now, I feel like, especially in this particular moment in culture, in time, where so much potentially can be taken away from women, I think this is just a beautiful time to renew any sort of relationship, whether it's a sister, a mother, you know, a best friend. It doesn't always have to be your partner.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
I think during Venus retrogrades, I mean, the first thing that I always see, people going back to old styles that maybe they once rocked back in the day, you know, like that's like the obvious low stakes version of it. Bringing out, like, I bought this hat during a Venus retrograde and I just pulled it out and started wearing it again. So it's simple stuff, but I think we also see more serious stuff. Like this can be the time to have like really difficult conversations with the people that we love in our lives. And, you know, this year we've seen a lot of conversation around people who don't share the same values and having to have these hard realizations. So I think it's a wonderful time to maybe sit and journal, reflect. You don't have to necessarily have the conversation now, but seeing what comes up and then sitting with that, letting it move through you, doing some sort of somatic exercise to let it move through you. And if you're still feeling that after the retrograde, maybe put it on paper. And, or if you communicate better verbally, do so, but maybe have like a good outline of what you're going to say, because these things can also be misinterpreted.
Absolutely. Well, that brings me to the list of things to be mindful of. Be mindful of reactions, of your reactions. Be mindful of regressive behavior. Be mindful of your rebuttals. Be mindful of retaliation, retribution. Be mindful of being resentful. That is a thing that can come up, I think, in retrograde is jealousy, resentment, things like that. So just be mindful of how, you know, if you're feeling those things, it's not fine, but just try not to act on them, you know, maybe sit on it a little bit. And then the other one is revenge.
Yeah.
And if you have to engage in any of these things, make sure you have the receipts.
Yeah. Oh gosh, have you been following this Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni thing?
A
How
little bit, yeah.
hard? Like, yeah, that is textbook. You got it.
Exactly. That's a really good example. What are some other maybe good examples of Venus retrograde story?
The obvious. We're about to go into tax season, baby. So this is the time to get your finances in order. So tax stuff, if you're a Virgo rising, this is happening in your eighth house. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. If you're a Leo rising, this might be going back into your eighth house. Taxes, money, get your, you know, budgeting. These are things that could also, like, you know, this might be a, you know, a period of time where we might need to rebudget, reassess what we can afford too, you know, like things like that can come up with a Venus retrograde.
Absolutely. That's a really good point.
A big financial decision, I would say. I would add that to the don't list. I think
Yeah.
it's a, I got, okay, again, another Venus retrograde story. I got this rug during a Venus retrograde because it was on sale. And I knew that I read the comments, I knew that it was going to shed and all these things, but it was, I love the rug. And here I am thinking about how I want to, it's 2 years later, I want to get a new rug. The rug's kind of had its day. But I'm like, don't make the decision during Venus retrograde because this is going to happen again. So maybe add some stars online, maybe make a mood board, but maybe don't purchase the thing yet.
A more innocent thing that tends to happen during Venus retrograde is things you notice in pop culture. Like, for instance, the last Venus retrograde, which was in Leo, that was the summer of the Return of the Blonde. Remember? It was Barbie, Taylor Swift, and Trump had his kind of resurgence, really, during that retrograde.
And a thing that I notice immediately, and this is more mundane stuff, is like this is when I usually will do like a revisit of a television show. So I remember when that Venus retrograde started, I bought a Peacock subscription during the Venus retrograde because I was like sick of everything on all the other channels, and I was like, I need something new. And I rewatched The Office from the beginning and did a big binge of that. Steve Carell, Leo. So that felt right. And now I'm doing a big rewatch of Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Oh, that's great. That's perfect. Well, what
Yeah.
would be?
Also very Piscean, very air.
Yeah, totally. When I think of entertainment that fits this particular Venus retrograde, movies that come to mind are like Natural Born Killers,
Oof.
Kill Bill,
Yeah.
with David Lynch recently passing, Wild at Heart. That kind of like lovers that are going to, be together no matter what, and they're going to do whatever it takes, that kind of thing that feels very
Oh, that is
right.
literally the theme song for Degrassi, whatever it takes. When I think about, I mean, first of all, I'm a Venus in Pisces, so I think about everything in terms of music and film. Everything has a music or film analogy in my world. We talked about revenge earlier. You said, like, not the best time. Something that comes to mind is Cruel Intentions. The
Yes.
scene where, she's, first of all, I'm going to spoil Cruel Intentions for anyone who hasn't seen it. But in the final scene of the film, they play the song Bittersweet Symphony. It's playing, and they're at this funeral, and the person who passed away, she's seeking revenge for him. And so she basically publishes his journal in a very zine-like way and reveals the villain being the sister. And they're in a church. There's an infamous scene, Sarah Michelle Gellar. She has this cross around her neck. It is revealed that there's cocaine in the cross, and there's like epic like 90s cry and revealing, all the mean things she did in the journal. And it's just like, and then you see Reese Witherspoon put on his sunglasses and drive off in the car as the song is playing. To me, that is such a Venus and Pisces moment. Like, not only just obvious, the obvious of it being in a church, Pisces rules, but it feels like something that is so cinematic.
What to you, when you think about Venus and Pisces going into Venus and Aries, like what does that look like? Like what does that story look like?
Venus and Aries kind of puts out this, this very Martian, for lack of better words, for very strong Martian energy, where it's like, I'm more in that mode where, like, I'm just gonna, it's, first of all, it is the first sign of the zodiac. So it's like, I'm starting something new. I'm gonna be aggressive. I'm gonna go after the thing that I want. So, like, let's say you have like a crush on somebody. It's very much like, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna bring him home. I'm gonna look hot. I'm gonna, it's confidence going for it. But when it goes back into Pisces, it sort of feels like you jumped into the deep end, especially because we're going back into those very intense 29, 28 degrees. And I get the image of almost like jumping into the deep end of the pool, but forgetting that you don't know how to swim. So you're just kind of like doggy paddling through it. And it's like, do I really want this? Sometimes when Venus is in Pisces and I have this natally, it can feel like a lot of disillusionment too. Like maybe you get what you want, but it's not how you imagined it to be. Or maybe, it's not going to feel the way that you thought it would feel. Or maybe you're feeling all of the things and it's so overwhelming that, you feel like you're doing the swimming dance, like I just described. For me personally, I think that it's brought up a lot of disillusionment for me. It's actually kind of hard because what ends up happening is feelings of like, oh, I wanted this relationship to work out this way, and then seeing it for what it is, and that can be really hard. You can feel like you want that adrenaline, you want that, dopamine to hit you, and then when it doesn't happen, it just feels like a big crash sometimes.
Right. Well, that's very Piscean too. It's like that kind of idealism and then kind of being disillusioned by maybe being disappointed and something isn't perfect.
Yeah, it's not even the perfect thing so much. I think a lot of times it gets written about that way. Like sometimes it's like, but then I also kind of watch my behavior sometimes and I'm like, really? Like that is the thing. So for example, like I, as a Venus and Pisces person, I don't get crushes easily. It actually happens pretty rarely, but when it does, it's very all consuming. It's like all I can think about. And so it's like everything else in my life can take a back seat to whatever I'm like, ruminating on, whether that is a person, whether that is, a job, whatever it is that I want, the nature of my desire, it's hard for me to focus on anything else. And so it can feel a little bit like tunnel vision a little bit. And that can overwhelm other people. I am also sick, so that is a byproduct of that. So it's not just like the idealization, but it's also kind of you build things up in your head, and it's hard to accept when they don't happen. As a Venus and Pisces person, I'm really like compassion and like martyrdom, and even just like straight up like criminality sometimes is kind of what like is desirous for me. Like, I'm not proud to say that, but like, for example, something that would really make me go, would be like, somebody who like stands up for a cause and is willing to like throw their life away for this thing. Like, the idea of like a martyr to something that I really care about or something that I value, or like, I've always been very drawn towards people who are who really who mean what they say when it comes to their value systems, and they're willing to like, have to suffer, to have lack, to not move forward in something that really excites them in order to like stick to a value system, if that makes sense. There is kind of like this punk rock factor that I don't think gets talked about a lot with Venus and Pisces. I mean, if you look at the cast of characters of people who have Venus and Pisces, they're all very eclectic, kind of badass people. You have like a Kurt Cobain type of person. That's like the textbook. But you also have, in the 90s, there's a lot of Venus and Pisces people that kind of blew up because, Saturn went into Pisces. So it like this archetype of like a person who died for their art, or suffered for their art in some way, that is the turn on for me. So I feel
Love
like
it.
we could be fascinated, captivated collectively by those archetypes during this period of time. I think one of the things that will be happening in February will be the first hearing for Luigi. And I feel like that speaks very much, and he's a Venus in Aries that will be going over his Venus, but he seems very Venus in Pisces archetypally. You know what I mean? Like the person to like die for a cause, like take one for the entire country, for all of us. And you can really, I like the negative aspect, I think, of Venus and Pisces is you could idealize somebody like that. You could, when you don't actually know them, you don't, we just know what we read. kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I love that. So I actually made a list of famous Venus and Pisces people versus famous Venus and Aries people. And so Kurt Cobain obviously is probably the most famous. It's always the number one person I think of when I think of Venus and
He's like
Pisces.
textbook Venus and Pisces, like,
Yeah.
yeah.
And then we have Billie Holiday.
Yeah, another person, just kind of this tortured artist, like beautiful, beautifully broken poets. Yeah.
Totally. You also have Vincent Van Gogh,
Yeah.
Martin Luther King.
Yep. Johnny Rotten is a Venus in Pisces.
Good one.
There's people you wouldn't think of. That's why I say it's kind of like a little bit of a punk rock edge to it. We don't talk about that very much, but I think the it comes from sacrifice, you know? It comes from another thing I see with Venus and Pisces people a lot, twinning. Like Venus and
Right.
Pisces love a twin. I always think about Victoria Beckham is a Venus and Pisces, and I think about her and David Beckham, like they're be very matchy magic. Machine Gun Kelly is a Venus in Pisces, and I when he was with Megan Kelly or Megan Kelly Megan Fox, they would always kind of wear those like matching kind of outfits. So I also think about things like seeming a little cinematic, like they're when you're dressing for Venus in Pisces, be a little cinematic, be inspired by film, be inspired by characters that you like. Again, like maybe you're watching Natural Born Killers, but maybe you're like, I think I'm gonna get that haircut, you know, like, or I wanna rock a shirt like Juliette Lewis, kind of cut up like that. Like that's kind of cool. That's very much Venus and Pisces retrograde.
I love that. All right, then what is Venus and A Aries then?
Venus and Aries is, I think Venus and Aries is similar to Venus and Pisces, but they're kind of more. And I have a lot of Venus and Aries people in my life. And instead of being a martyr for like love, these are the people that want to beat someone's ass for love. Like these are the friends that you want to have in your corner because they'll fight for you. They fight for what they deem is of worth. They're exciting to be around. Venus and Aries is like a time to begin something new, to act like a little bit like a child. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm jumping in. I'm going to do this thing. I don't know. I guess I'm going to try it. You know, it's very much like that. It's getting in the car with no destination. I'm just going to drive and see where life takes me. That's a big thing with Venus and Aries. I've had a lot of Venus and Aries people that are just like, do you want to go for a drive? Where are we going? I don't know. Let's just drive. Like,
Love
it's
it.
no destination in it for the moment.
In it for the moment.
And that also feels very cinematic.
You're right. Well, yeah. So famous Venus and Aries people, Marilyn Monroe, Lady
Quintessential.
Gaga. What was that?
I said a quintessential Venus.
Quintessential.
And I also feel like she ran and jumped into relationships pretty fast and then also had a lot of disillusionment. And she also dated a lot of sports people, didn't she? Like
She
Jonah,
did.
and like that again, Mars and Aries is sport, right?
Yeah, good point. And Elizabeth Taylor, Venus and Aries,
Of course.
also jumped into relationships.
Many of them, sometimes 3 times in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Liza Minnelli.
Love her.
Yeah, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she's a very quintessential one too, I feel like. I
Yeah.
want love and I want your revenge.
Oh my God, yeah, perfect. Jack Nicholson.
Oh yeah, he's another one. Never settled down, always kind of on the prowl. I was just listening to a funny audiobook, and they were talking about Jack Nicholson and how he, even at this party with his girlfriend, and like, and this was like recent, like within the last like 10 years, he was still on the prowl. Good for him.
So
He's
funny.
80, 90.
He's still doing it. Billy Corgan, Venus and
Yeah.
Aries.
He's another one too. And what's funny is like he's Venus is right on Courtney's descendant.
Oh, interesting. I never looked at that before.
Amused.
Wow.
has very strong Aries, like even though she's very Cancerian because we're rising, she has very strong, I feel like, Aries-ish energy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I would say she's definitely a Venus and Aries figure.
Yeah. And I think also Darcy might have, is it Darcy? Yeah, I think maybe Darcy also has her Venus at that degree too, which would explain
Oh.
the connection, because Venus can also be, again, your bandmates. No.
Then what would you say, rounding it all up, what is probably some advice for anyone going into this Venus retrograde?
The energy field's very big. I mean, Jupiter's the ruler of Pisces, and then you have Mars. So, if you have, first of all, something I would really look for that I've been seeing a lot with this retrograde is people who have natal Mars, Jupiter aspects in their chart are very activated right now, because both planets also are gonna go direct after periods of retrograde. So they've been holding back a lot, and so now they're ready to push forward. So if you have like a Mars Jupiter conjunction or a square, this has been building for a while for you. So that's one thing I would put on the table. The other thing that I would say is it's a very explosive energy, because we are A, probably not seeing things quite clearly, or seeing things that the way that we want to see them. And we're also impulsive and willing to go after the thing. So where we might have had, the one thing I will say about both Venus and Pisces and Venus and Aries, our boundaries are not the best in these signs. So it feels a little boundaryless. It feels a little bit, again, like jumping into the deep end and forgetting that you don't know how to swim, but like this is the best way, sink or swim, fight against the current.
Against the current, yeah.
I would also say, you know, if there's tension that's coming up, like an argument, or if there's something that's kind of like lingering inside of you that you really want to take action on, or you feel confused about, or you don't know how to take action during this period of time, I would really like take this time. This like Venus retrogrades are really wonderful for just like journaling and drawing, and even if you don't have the words, maybe just kind of like making a commitment each morning to like just doodle for about 5 minutes and see what comes to you. I always get like sparks of poetry that come back to me too, and that might just be as a Venus and Pisces rules poetry. So like, I don't write poems very often, but I noticed during the retrograde, or when I noticed during when Venus is in Pisces, I have like a resurgence. Like that's usually when I'll put out a zine or something, because I just feel like everything is like spewing. Another thing I really also keep an eye on is your dream world. Like Pisces rules the dream world. This can be a really great time to like start paying attention to your dreams, keeping a dream journal. See what's coming up for you. Are they fears that you might need to face? Are they, you know, is your intuition telling you somebody in your life you need to be paying better attention to? You know, things like that are things I would really consider as well. What you're willing to fight for and be a martyr to might be kind of something we're thinking about right now. Jupiter is expansion. It's the law. It makes everything kind of larger than life. I would also be reticent to really like maybe even just like think about how you're gonna say what you need to say to make sure you're saying it right, because things can also be like feel like a little bit bigger in our minds than they are in reality. I actually do have a piece of helpful advice if anybody is interested. One thing that can be really helpful during this period of time, if you're somebody who can be a little bit impulsive or hot-headed, or if you're dealing with a difficult situation in your life where you have to confront somebody or cut someone off or something like that, open chat GPT, and I want you to feed in some text with this person and create a file for them. And then I want you to write a letter and then write it to ChatGPT and ask it to respond to you as that person. Because when you feed it text, it's going to understand It's going to begin to understand how the person thinks, how they feel, how they speak, their tone. And sometimes you can get that little dopamine rush from a fake letter and a fake response. And sometimes ChatGPT will even surprise you and be like, hey, this was a misunderstanding because I think X, Y, and Z. And then you start to think about that person. And you're like, oh, I wasn't even on their radar. Like I'm offended by this thing when they have all these other things going on. And when I should have just been like, hey, I'm hurt that you didn't reach out to me or something like that. You know what I mean? So like ChatGPT, we talk a lot about technology being something to be fearful of, but I think it can actually help people communicate better if we learn to apply it in those types of ways. It's really helpful. You can just simply be like, if your sister is bothering you and you're in some weird fight with her, that's a very Venus retrograde thing. You can be like, why did my sister do X, Y, and Z? This is her background. And then it'll be like, well, your sister might have a disorganized attachment style, and this might cause her Y and Z. And then, suddenly you're not so angry anymore. You can
I
start to
love
understand.
that.
Pisces is also empathy and compassion. So, like, using technology in some way to build our empathy and our compassion is not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. I like that use of AI. There certainly are some good uses, and that is one of them. I like that for sure.
I think that like something I've really learned is like we're just meat suits. Like our brain doesn't even want this necessarily like resolved. It just wants the dopamine it gets from being heard and understood or seen. And if you're not going to get that from someone in your life, I mean, there are people in my life that are very difficult. That's all of us. We all have to deal with difficult people in our lives who do not want to change. They don't want to see what they need to see. Like sometimes just being able to get a fake response, like a chat GPT letter, can give you that signal in your brain that you need. And it's amazing. It makes you kind of realize that like we're just meat suits. Like we're just addicted to cortisol
That's it. That's all
and
it
dopamine and oxytocin.
is. So, now that we have covered Venus retrograde, why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody about your astrology practice and what you've got going on?
Sure. So my name is B and I go by the Zine Witch. And you can find my website at thezinewitch.com. And I have a Patreon, which is functioning as an astro school. My idea was to create the Netflix of astrology. I'm a self-paced learner, an autodidact, whatever you want to call it. And I love just kind of learning astrology on my own time and different perspectives. And so I like to bring in different types of astrologers. So sometimes you'll see evolutionary astrologers, sometimes you'll see Hellenistic astrologers. But what I do like to promote is disabled and queer voices because I feel like there's not really any other space online specifically for us. And that was something I felt was really. I was told repeatedly also that it was lacking. And so as I started to talk about it more, I started to find more and more people messaging me regularly being like, thank you for, the Midheaven isn't just our career, like these are all things that we can be touching on. So I tried to create that over on my Astro School. So right now I actually have a subscription rate that is discounted, a scholarship rate if you want to join. And I try to also make it affordable. So you get a lot of content and it's pretty affordable for what you get. So I do sometimes like anywhere from like 7 new workshops a month. That's not going to be every month, but you get at least like when you sign up, you're going to get at least like 200 workshops available at your fingertips. So
That's amazing. That's
yeah,
amazing.
we also
Awesome.
do like a monthly AMA. So if you ever like,
Cool.
If you're dating or something and you just want me to look at like a composite chart or something like that, I'm happy to do it. So I love
Nice.
being able to just ask questions and answer them.
Love it. Cool. Well, are you ready to play the Wheel of Fate?
Am I ready? I'm so excited. And a little,
Ooh.
okay, let's spin the wheel, Alex.
Let's spin the wheel. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to spin the wheel. It's going to give us a planet randomly, and then we're going to spin another wheel. It's going to give us a sign randomly, and then we are just going to riff on everything that comes to mind.
Cool.
Here we go.
Uranus.
Uranus. It's what it just said. Did you hear that? I pronounce it Uranus.
Love it.
All right, so Uranus is the planet. What sign will it be?
Course, I would get Uranus.
Scorpio. Uranus
Uranus, Scorpio.
and
Oh, I love
Scorpio.
Scorpio. My first thought when I think about someone who might have Uranus and Scorpio is this is someone who's going to have an unconventional approach to research, to the way to what they ruminate about. I'm almost imagining again like a very like a punk, like somebody who's like into underground things, somebody who is trying to find something that's kind of hidden or not readily available, but it's also got something that's very like liberating. So I'm almost thinking they're going to be very drawn to like subcultures that are very innovative that allow them to have to express themselves freely and honestly and earnestly. I think that this is also somebody who probably would want to transform. That would be the key word of Scorpio. Maybe technology or has like very progressive politics that might be more rooted in the destruction of something rather than, necessarily trying to work with what is. So probably someone very like revolutionary in terms of like political concepts or what they think the collective potentials are.
Also made me think of like innovation around death. Did you ever watch the show 6 Feet Under?
Loved that show. I haven't seen it in so long.
Oh, I
Yeah.
love it. Yeah.
Oh, David is such a perfect, like he could definitely, he's very Uranian. He's had a lot of Uranian things happen to him.
Yes, he did with
That episode.
abduction. And yeah, that was a crazy episode. I was born in 80. I have Uranus and Scorpio. In fact, I didn't even like think about this, but yeah, my ascendant is exactly opposing my Uranus and Scorpio. So my Uranus and Scorpio is very important in my chart. I mean, that's like eccentric
Do
figures in your
you
life.
want to be embalmed out in a forest?
I think I want to be cremated. I don't know that I want to be even a dead.
Okay.
I just want to be, take me out. I've got Mars conjunct my moon in Scorpio, so I just want to be like, just burn me up.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing, duh. Alternative music. So, like, you get like. Yeah, you have like the, I guess you would call it the second wave of alt music people. So you get, your Tame Impala, your Silverchair, your 70s,
Yes.
right? So yeah,
Right. 70s, early 80s
wave of
babies.
alt music.
Yep. That's that. Oh, perfect. Yay. Well, that was fun. Thank you so much. Thank you for playing the Wheel of Fate.
That wasn't so scary.
If anyone that is listening and wants to get a reading from either of us so that you can learn to navigate this upcoming Venus retrograde, or you just want to see how this Venus in retrograde is going to be affecting you, you can book a reading with either of us. I will have links to do that underneath. And again, I want to thank my guest, the Zine Witch, for being my first guest on Orbital. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you for having me.